Do you want to do more than follow orders? Think outside of the box and manifest your dreams? Then you've come to the right show. Welcome to the award-winning podcast, Holding Down the Fort by U.S. VetWealth. I'm your host, Jen Amos, a Gold Star daughter, veteran spouse, and entrepreneur. For season 8, we continue our wonderful partnership with the Rosie Network to highlight motivational stories of personal growth, financial awareness, and autonomy in our military community. We're also excited to showcase our partnership with Blue Water Advisors. Well, we have a lot in store for you this season, so let's get started. All right. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode here at Holding Down the Fort by U.S. Vet Wealth in partnership with the Rosie Network and Blue Water Advisors. By the way, this may become, if you've been following our show consistently, you're probably just tuning out these names, these companies. And so I want to take a moment to emphasize them again. Holding Down the Fort, it takes a village for the show to exist. And it really, really is possible because of one, my company, US Vet Wealth, and my team. Two, because of the partnership with the Rosie Network. And three, because of the additional partnership with Blue Water Advisors. I do hope that you take the time to check out the show notes of this episode to figure out how to get a hold of all of these people or even to just look into them. Because again, if you've been following along, I continuously stress that it takes a village to feature all of these stories. And I am just lucky enough to be the face of it. Yay. And if you don't want to see my face, well, thank goodness you can just listen to the podcast. Okay, I'm laughing at myself, but if you got a good laugh out of that, you're welcome. All right, well, hello, hello. Well, hello to episode 191. It's Thursday. And if this is your first time listening to the show, you'll know that, or you do not know, let me tell you, that every Thursdays is an opportunity to share employment stories, how military retirees can find employment in post-military life. So if that's what you're looking for, tune in every Thursdays for that. Every Mondays is when we share entrepreneurial stories of the Service to CEO graduates from the Rosie Network. And we share a mix of entrepreneurial and employment stories in the name of inspiring you all with stories of personal growth, financial awareness, and autonomy in our military community. So this episode is no different. This episode, again, if this is your first time listening, this is where I take a step back as a host to feature my husband, Scott, and what he does with his live show called Taking E Tuesdays with our Blue Water Advisors partner, Mike Wallace. And so in this conversation today, Scott and Mike share how to reframe your mindset for success after military service. And the way that they do that for this episode is they share findings from a recent networking event. They discuss how networking is important for career development and transitioning out of the military. With Blue Water Advisors, Mike aims to help the transition process through individual coaching, networking opportunities, and data-driven career insights and resources. Scott and Mike discuss how reframing one's mindset from following orders to seeking better job opportunities is important for a successful transition to civilian life. Lastly, they emphasize why military retirees should maintain networks after landing new jobs. So, very fun conversation. I do want to set a disclaimer, if again, this is your first time listening to these Thursday episodes, that events and updates that may have been mentioned in this conversation may be outdated. The reason why we share these replays is so that you can get a glimpse into Scott and Jen's world as a husband and wife team in our ever-evolving entrepreneurial journey. And especially for military retirees seeking employment in post-military, these conversations are for you. We'll give you tips and tricks. At least Scott and Mike will give tips and tricks on career progression, opportunities, and all the things for post-military. So that being said, I hope you enjoy this episode, and I will chat with you more in the post commentary. Enjoy. Happy listening or watching.
All right. Looks like we are live on LinkedIn and the YouTube. Perfect. See if you have the internet. But welcome back. Hi, I'm Scott Tucker here with Captain Retired Mike Norm Wallace. Welcome back from the land of the pilots or the naval aviators, aviators from what I've heard. So as an Army guy, I like hearing about all the cool things that other services do in their networking space. You know, the even in the military, we all have our own unique niches, whether it's having gone to an academy or special forces or pilots or whatever. It's like that if you could tap into a subset of your community and not just be yet another veteran, like that's kind of the point. So looking forward to hearing a little bit about how the event went. Any new insights you gleaned? Any surprises?
It was a really good gathering at the Tailhook Convention right there in Reno, and went out last Wednesday. We had good days all throughout the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning as well, until we started to kind of break down. But it goes through Saturday, and most people kind of, hit their return travel Sunday morning usually. But that was it.
That's a big event. That's four days.
And from what I understand, talking attendance, right, you know, the orchestrators of the event, they said they had some record attendance, you know, on the Navy's part. So it was really good. And a lot of industry out there as well. You and I talked briefly about that, right? And some of the government contractors, defense industry agencies that are out there, and other support services, right? A little bit in the financial sector out there. We saw a number of companies that were sticking their toe, in that pool out there to kind of bring some insight and everything. So maybe we figure out a way to get U.S. Vet Wealth out there next year, right? As we kind of head that direction. It was a little bit of a different engagement strategy. Our Blue Water Career Progression Consultants, Steve Wieman, he went out with me, and, you know, you probably remember prior year engagement, right? You know, you've been to these events. We had a table, you know, you have kind of handouts and everything, and you just wait for people to kind of, it's a passive engagement if you choose to do it that way. Wait for people to kind of seek you out. And then, you know, we had a breakout room once a day where, you know, people could come and, you know, kind of hear our thoughts on career progression. And you know, that worked okay, I should say, you know, for the first 2 years, but we didn't do that this year. Scott, we pretty much took the passive out of it and went active, if you will. You know, we were absolutely engaging individuals, you know, one-on-one. So it was long days for us out there. And, you know, the feedback that we got is, you know, there's not a large portion of the audience that comes to that event, you know, to talk about what's next in their life. But what we found is they may not be excited to have that conversation overtly, but, you know, they very much want to have that conversation one-on-one, right? And so we kind of met them on their terms, and we had tons of those engagements with leadership as well out there too. Several flag officers we had a chance to engage. Many were curious about our efforts. Now that we're, you know, approaching the end of year three in this pursuit of ours, our brand is pretty well known, right? People understand what it is we're trying to build and how we're trying to disrupt this career progression or this transition space out there and build something better, more effective, more efficient, right, for naval aviation, or really leadership of all backgrounds, right? It's applicable. It's agnostic to your, you know, how you serve, right? If you want to pitch into the message and the network and the keen insights and the corporate partners that we have and going forward, it's here for everybody, right? And we're excited.
Yeah. And I think the way you did it this way is more from a research standpoint. Hey, let me just go talk to people and learn, hey, what they're looking for. Oh, they're not looking for this right now, but they are. They know they should be. So if anything, you're kind of sparking that fire for them. And a lot of times it's going to take someone 2 to 3 years to have their own internal decisions about, you know, what do I want to do next before they kind of remember, oh yeah, I need to go talk to this guy. So it was your goal to just in general kind of spread the word a little bit more about what your offering is, obviously, and kind of get that feedback like we just discussed. Or are you trying to actively, you know, build out that network and engage with people like directly? Are people saying, hey, follow up with me, you know, when we get back home on Thursday, give me a call? Like, if you were coaching someone who was going there as an individual next year, kind of what are their expectations on networking and follow up and active duty career versus post-military career?
Yeah, you know, the message for us is pretty consistent on how to approach events such as this, which is really not completely different, you know, than if you were to go into any other major, you know, networking or job fair type kind of thing. There are a lot of industry leaders. There's, you know, many companies that are out there. And that's probably not the primary reason, right, that people, you know, pursue Tailhook. It really is a community opportunity to come together, to get updates on the community, to get the latest state of the landscape, right? You know, how our leadership and, you know, is engaged in various different AORs, et cetera. And those updates are absolutely fantastic. But a very strong, you know, secondary benefit, if you will, is you do get a chance to meet all of those individuals that you may have known from years past and how they're plugged in with various different defense industries, their government contracting companies, et cetera. So to answer your first question, you're like, you know, what's the approach like out there? What were we looking to get out of it? Lots of one-on-one discussions. You know, we're not really out there trying to reel people in hard, but we just expose them to what it is we're doing. And if they are curious and desire follow-on engagements, we let them know how to reach out to us.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah.
Are they even aware that a service like that is available or even needed? I guess that's, you know, the first thing. Because that's what, for my problem, for what I saw, most people don't even know until, you know, way later in their career. Are you catching them where they're like, oh, Jen, I hadn't thought about that yet?
I was surprised more so this year than even last year. The majority of the people that we spoke with were absolutely aware of our brand and what it is we're trying to do.
Oh, all right. Good.
In fact, I didn't speak with one flag officer that wasn't aware of what we were trying to do, right? They all were fully aware. They've all heard of our engagement strategy. They've all heard what we're trying to do. There were some of them that were trying to understand it, right? I mean, hey, how are you doing this? And, you know, what does the future look like? And, you know, you're trying to get at it to that aspect. But much more than even last year, almost everybody we spoke with was aware of what we're trying to do, right? Which, that's exciting. So that tells us that our brand is getting out there, Scott, right? I mean, people are aware of us. And again, you know, just to reassure everybody out there, we're not a threat to retention. There is absolutely no benefit for us to entice anybody, you know, to get out before the right time. I mean, we all wore the uniform. You did as well. That is the furthest thing from what we do, right? We do not try to entice people. In fact, we have individuals that reach out to us and say, hey, Mike, I want to have a conversation with you. Should I get out or not? I'm not going to have that conversation with you. That's absolutely not in my swim lane. You know, just not going to go there. That's a decision between, you know, their family, their service family, right? And in this case, their Navy family and leadership. And when that time is right, then Blue Water is the trusted source, right? We were you. We were successful in uniform. We made the transition to various different industries. We have the network for you because we know you don't have time to build it. And that's the whole reason that you know, we're aspiring to build what it is we're doing.
So. You know, I just got an idea for, you know me, I'm always thinking of a new idea to maybe, hey, how do we explain or pitch the service or value of the service, for lack of a better term, of, you know, it's like, hey, where is Blue Water going to add the most value? Obviously, in the one-on-one with the individual coaching, of course, you know, what you offer there. I mean, I was just talking to Mike Nunziato. Am I saying his name right? Right. Okay. And he was just like, hey, for the money we spent and what I got out of that, I never seen any. I was totally blew me away the amount of value I got from Blue Water. But, you know, as you are talking to flag officers and you start talking about things about retention and when do I get out of the military and concerns there, from my perspective, Scott Tucker's perspective, you know, having just talking to many retirees year after year for the last 15 years. Yeah, I'm talking more on the life insurance side of things, but obviously I'm hearing all the other concerns that are coming up during the retirement window. And it's just, I call it decision stress, right? Yeah. There he is. He's listening right now. I call it decision stress. It's just, I mean, imagine, yes, we're leaders in the military, but we're following orders and SOPs, and now we have to make our own decisions, and yet another thing that we have to figure out, just like, how do I get a job is now my job. Yeah. And so whether it's the individual seeking out, you know, any of these, you know, hiring our heroes services or whatever it is,
sure,
or more individualized, customized coaching, kind of what you offer, wouldn't an organization benefit from letting their members know, regardless if they're 3 months out for military retirement, 3 years out, 10 years out, it's coming anyways. Why not allow your organization, this is a hint to you flag officers, to know that, hey, you know, allow Mike to come into your organization, you know, do some sort of government contracting. That's the cool thing about being a veteran-owned business, and allow your leaders to know that there's going to be a resource. To stay focused on the job at hand, military duty. Of course, you know, we know what we signed up for. When we're in uniform, we get it, but it's always going to be coming. And so if we're stressed out about it, stressed out at home, and we don't stumble into Mike Wallace until we've already been frustrated, TAPS wasn't good enough for me, now I'm going to go search it out.
Yeah.
Like, let's allow those things to kind of, anyways, that's kind of my motivation behind
absolutely.
All this.
Absolutely. And Scott, you're a big part of that, right? And you and I have been kind of, you know, latched up at the hip there, you know, with U.S. Vet Wealth and your efforts. And I love kind of the partnership that we put together so that we can bring those resources to bear. But I just want to say one thing about what you just said. It's even more than that. In fact, the conversations I had with leadership is, not only are we not a threat to retention, but just a riff off of what you threw out there, right? It's more than that. Imagine a senior leader, because, you know, as their workforce progresses in seniority and through time, you know, there is some concern. Hey, eventually I'm going to have to get a job. Oh my gosh, what is that like? And where are we going to go? And is there going to be a job for me? I don't know. And we live that, right? You know, our career progression consultants, Steve Wieman, you know, all these guys have lived this same feeling. And imagine if leadership would just take us at face value. Let me partner with Blue Water. And I could literally go to leadership and imagine the power of an analytical dashboard such that leadership could say, listen, workforce, stay engaged, stay Navy, stay Army, stay Marine Corps, stay like whatever it happens to be.
Space Force. Don't forget Space Force.
Yeah, Space Force. You know, and don't worry about what's next, because let me tell you what I've got. I'm building a pipeline for your exit strategy. I have a network for you to plug into. And analytically, over the last 3 years, here's 450 points of contact. Here's the breakdown in 05s. Here's the breakdown in 06s. Here's the breakdown in 07s. Historically, these individuals are finding, right, you know, X percentage are going to this industry, X percentage are to this industry. This is how long it takes them to navigate that career progression or that transition space. In other words, don't just make it a squishy discussion where, hey, I think you're going to be okay, you'll figure it out. No. Put data to it. Tell them, reassure them that when the time is right, you truly have their back. And analytically, this is what your path is likely to look like, right? I mean, we deal in statistics, right? Hey, if 350 people in front of you that look just like you in your background, it looks like this, that's what you want to pursue. Well, guess what? We not only have good data to share with you on what your timeline is going to look like, but I can also tell you what you can expect compensation-wise. I can also tell you how long it's going to take you. I also have a network ready for you to plug into, right? It's just ready-made. And we're so excited about this. And so just to kind of take your point, you know, to the next degree, right? It should be, you know, more than just another service. This was a service. And when we first started this, we built this. It's grown beyond just Navy, you know, lines. But, you know, we built this for our leadership. And we just said, hey, gone are the days. We don't have to be, you know, the recipient of underperforming, you know, legacy and, you know, institutionalized programs that continue to underserve us, right? We don't have to live in that world. And so we're building something different and better. And it's filled full of analytics, keen insights. It's a network. We've got land reports. We've got compensation. We've got all of this. We're just removing the fog of war, right? There's no fog here. Come here, walk out of the darkness into the light and understand exactly, right, the field that you're stepping into. And that's what we want to bring to the table.
Right. We do it on the military battlefield.
You do it on the financial world, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, people don't know what SBP is. They don't really understand it. It's a program. It's legacy and institutionalized. And let's face it, it's been failing many individuals for a long period of time. It may be a good fit for some, but it's not for everybody. And, you know, those kind of conversations, right? And your approach and your analytical approach and discussion to that just removes the confusion, man. It's just math. And your point is valid. I know you and I have chatted about this. You know, as much as what I think, you know, the mathematical approach helps remove the emotion out of it. But at the end of the day, you're right. It is still an emotional decision, right? And a discussion to have. But the point I'm trying to make is your approach and removing the confusion and just breaking it down into ones and zeros and just say, if this is you, then we think this is a better answer. And,
yeah.
And that in and of itself, I think helps reduce the stress of it. Because
right. And that's
understandable. You make it understandable.
Well, that's all either you and I are doing or anybody that's acting in some sort of consultant role. It's like we have this experience and this knowledge that we stumbled into and discovered in some way. We kind of packaged it together and we think it can help you make decisions easier. But that actually leads us into the next thing I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, because while whether it's your program, my program, or just going through the military.
Just say our program. I like that. Yeah. Right.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. The whole idea. Just going through the standard check boxes of military retirement, you know, my approach, you know, one of my mottos is, hey, it's time to stop following orders. Not in like a mean way, just literally you're leaving the military. We don't have to follow any sort of government program anymore. And on the financial side, that means you don't have to tie into the benefits system if you don't want to, or if it's too costly for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means, you know, when everybody got all excited, remember when Google came out with a whole translate your MOS into a post-military job? And then all us Army guys are saying, like, we don't want to do our Army job in a civilian world. I mean, maybe you pilots are different. But it was like, no, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. What is there to do? And I'm reading this new book by Scott Adams. He's the founder, the Dilbert comic creator guy. And he's also a big, like, kind of heady influence persuasion type guy. And so he's got a bunch of books out there about success. Anyway, so I was reading this chapter and I was like, wow, this is exactly kind of what we talk about. And his whole point is to kind of reframe your mindset on expectations of all sorts of various things. Mm-hmm. That's what this particular book's about. But, you know, I'm thinking about from a, you know, you're getting out of the military, you're used to following orders, your pay scale is your pay scale. Like, you can do better than the next guy, but, you know, you only get whatever rating you can get. The guy can only have so many top blocks. Like, we know what system we're in, but that's not the system on the outside. We kind of think it is, and we understand how we're going to, you know, if we get brought in as a vice president, maybe after a few years, I get some stock off, you know, there's growth. Yeah. We're so used to that one frame of how we get promoted. And his frame, and the way to do that is to, as he says here, your job is what your boss tells you it is. So therefore, your job is to do a set of tasks for the employer in return for money, and essentially, you know, try to do the best job you can. And you've got an agreement with what that money is. And his reframe is, no, your job is to get a better job.
Yeah.
Like from day one.
Yeah.
And you've hit on that a little bit from a kind of a networking standpoint, because we never know that, you know, what's going to happen. And he has a couple of the points here I highlighted, that obviously the employer would drop you in a second if it was better for the business. So kind of keeping that stuff in mind.
That will work environment. Yeah.
But at the same,
you probably remember me saying this, Scott, and just to kind of, you know, pile onto that, I think for some, it hits them up front and they realize that some, it's a little bit of a surprise. And we say it out loud several times. We look at our members and we go, listen, you have no detailer. You have no placement officer. You don't have a community manager. You don't have a monitor. Or what was it in the Army? What, did you guys have assignments officers or whatever?
Oh.
You know, Richard orders.
Yeah. Somebody in HRC.
Something like that. So the bottom line is you don't have that the day that you step out. And so if you think about it, you're working to get your next job, or you're going to do some level of performance to qualify you for the next step, right? People were managing that for you, right, in your military, in your uniformed career, right? And the fact of the matter is, when you step into this new life, you don't have that anymore. So 100% of all of that, right, falls on you, right? And I think we and many of our members often feel a little bit disloyal when we have this conversation. When I say, hey, I want you to step in there, don't necessarily focus on just doing the J-O-B, but focus on bringing value, right? Being invaluable to an organization. Not only means doing your job well, delivering those results, but a little bit more than that, right? But never stop networking, never stop looking for that next adventure that you're interested in. And it doesn't have to be a disloyal conversation. Maybe you love the company you're with so much and you want your boss's job, or you want an elevated position, right? You want to figure out a way to kind of move up. You love the culture, you love the environment, you love everything about the company. That doesn't mean you want to stay at this level forever.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel bad about having those aspirations. Here's something that's very, very popular in the tech community. You know, maybe you need to go to another company to get that experience before you bounce back at a higher level inside the company. That's incredibly, incredibly common. You know, I see that a lot when I was at Amazon and I would, you know, hire people from Microsoft and then they would go back to Microsoft and then they would come back to us and just, it's just this melting pot and people go where there's a need, right, for that level of contribution and then they get the experience. You with me?
Yeah.
And everybody wins in that regard, right? We shouldn't feel bad about it.
Yeah. And that's what I like about this reframe approach that he explains here is that you're putting yourself more as the value add. And so the frame is, you know, if I'm coming in every day to do the best thing I can to either get promoted out of my job or I'm attracted to another job that's a better fit. Like now it's the employer's responsibility to value you or to be using you in a way that fills you up, to be paying you what you're worth. You're putting yourself in, again, you're in a place, because from my perspective, when you're getting out of the military, you know, as a kind of, I'm always, you know, our war chest strategy is about the idea that, hey, you're going to be self-employed at some point. That's the idea of retirement. So if we can, you know, redefine what self-employment is, that's just increasing your streams of income. So if you only have one employer, well, then there's the risk. But if you control that environment, then you fire them. They don't fire you.
Right.
And the fact that you already have that first source of income of a military retirement pension, plus maybe some VA disability. Now the idea is to stack other sources of income. Maybe it's just one employer because you find a good fit. But to allow you to have the curiosity of exploring those other sources, think about as sources of income. Maybe you can have multiple employers in a way that, oh, now you're a consultant to, you know, that's what you did, right, Mike? I mean, you were with the employer Amazon for a while, then you more or less self-employed consultant role,
I mean,
same
very,
type of thing.
Very unplanned, right? I mean, if I'm honest with you, I had no intentions of going down that road. It was, you know, when I left Amazon out of Seattle and came back to the East Coast, there was no shortage of companies that wanted to reach out and just say, hey, we'd love to hear kind of what you did there. We'd love to hear your thoughts on process improvement. And how did you guys approach this? And how did you guys grow and scale? And hey, you grew a team from 15 people to thousands by the time you left. And what did that look and feel like? And you know, there's a lot of interest, right? So the brand, when you leave a company like that, right, especially on really, really good terms, solid terms, and, you know, there's no shortage of people that are curious about this. But, you know, this is, you know, even for our members, right, it goes all the way back to the very beginning. It's the first thing that we talk to them about. It's like, you've got to have a strategy, right? You got to sit down and you got to give a little bit of thought about where you're at today. What are the big rocks you want to kind of preserve, right? What are the things are not negotiable in your life, man? I want to do these things. I want to preserve some quality time with family, and I'm absolutely not leaving this area. And so those are the big rocks. Now, does my strategy and what I'm pursuing align and support that, right? So you really got to back it up a little bit as you do it. But I love this blurb and the page that you're putting up there. You know, it really does. It's, you got to think about it a little bit differently, right? And again, I love what you're doing and what Blue Water does and the network we've put together. We help individuals get the mindset around this, right? We help them be aware of these kind of things. And you already hit the nail on the head. An at-will work environment is an at-will work environment.
Yeah.
You know, if you're working for Meta, do you think for a second, if they need to let 11,000 people go, which they did, that they're not going to lose any sleep over that. In fact, at our lunch roundtable, we had John Adametz, a retired admiral who now works for Meta. When somebody asked him a question, they said, hey, what does that look like in execution? Wow. And you already know the answer to this. It's a Wednesday afternoon and you show up to work and you get an email that says, hey, we just wanted to let you know that we're downsizing. You're caught up in this thing and you can turn your badge and your laptop in over here. And thanks for coming. And by the end of that day, you're caught up in the downsizing event and thank you, right? I mean, it's literally, in a lot of cases, just that quick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your first indicator is when you go on and start checking folders and share drives and other information in the company. You go, hey, how come I can't access this anymore? How come I can't get into these things anymore? Uh-oh. Okay, yeah, right. They're cutting your access off. And then they're informing you that this is how this goes down. And this is real, right? And we're seeing a lot of this. Did you see the announcement that came out? Was while we were at Tailhook, North American headquarters of Steel, right over here in Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. I saw an article they just released, 30% reduction in their workforce here, starting effective immediately. And I've been unable to kind of reach out over there to see how that's going to affect a lot of people over there. But that's legit, right? A lot of these companies are right-sizing right now. So that's
yeah, tough. And it's like, we don't mean to be doom and gloom. Yeah. We're just—
there's no opportunity. It absolutely is opportunity out there.
I'm trying to empower, like as someone who, like, because I've never worked for a corporation. I was always self-employed. So I can bring, and I'm not encouraging it because it's
not for the faint of heart, right?
But I recognize that there's ways to— basically, this is about a lifestyle design when it comes to, you know, you're not always looking for another job. You don't have to, you know, shirk your existing employer, you know, thinking that, oh, I'm on LinkedIn now trying to— it's not about that. It's more just about, hey, how do I stay useful to a given network and try to find other ways to add value? One of the easiest ways to do that is just as you're networking, share useful resources that might come up. You know, Mike and I might be one of them, but you know, just be the guy who kind of knows the other guys or knows who to know, but also from a business perspective, helping the people that could hire you down the road or know, help them out. And I try to figure out what's going to help make their job easier. And that way it's just kind of, you know, naturally show up to events periodically like a Tailhook, whether it's locally or traveling somewhere, just to kind of, you know, keep mixing it up a little bit versus just waking up, hey, you got that great job. But now it's been 5 years later and you've kind of been doing the same thing every day for 5 years. Like, uh-oh, you know, I only know the people I work in my, you know, cubicle with or whatever. Right. So we just want to avoid that environment. So that's all we're talking about, because that way, if the worst case thing does happen, you know, a layoff, you're already got irons in the fire, so to speak. But
yeah, you never stop networking, right? Ever. And we really try to pound that into our members, you know, hard when they land. One of the first things we send them is our content, right? Landed, what now? And the what now part is update your resume right now. Yeah. Let your network know that you've landed. Let them know where you're at. Stay plugged in with your network, because it's not just you absorb information from your network. If you're doing it right, you're paying into your network so it'll be, you know, ready for your next adventure whenever that happens. And if it comes no notice, and, you know, if you haven't plugged into your network in 2 years, you thought it was hard to get it going the first time, you know, try breathing life back into it after not touching it for 2 years. And the other thing we tell our members is, hey, this is our network. We're happy to bring you into the Blue Water Network and plug you into the people who are going to help you turn your vision into reality. But you need to be respectful of the network, right? And we've had some individuals fairly recently that aren't making it a priority, that are being bad networking, you know, participants. And when I say that they're ready to have conversations, we connect them and then they go dark for 2 weeks when it's good for them to come up and have a conversation. That's not being productive in the network. And that's harming the Blue Water Network for those that are following you. So, you know, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt once or twice, but if that continues, right, we're going to have some conversations, because a network is a perishable skill, right? It's a perishable resource, if you will.
And that's I think it's great to do those landing reports here on the show, like we did with Mike, you know. Yeah. So for listeners out there, if you're ready to come do your landing report, you know, share your experience and any insights you have that's unique to your experience hiring and, you know, how you're considering is still networking while you're out there. We'd love to, you know, share those stories and insights as well. And we just kind of keep this conversation going and making this a hub for that network. And if we can expand it out into, I think what would be valuable for this extended audience is to host a virtual networking event that, you know, everybody gets a 2 minute blurb. Here's who I am, what I'm trying to do, you know, what my timeline is. You know, maybe we have a featured employer or expert speaker type of thing. I've been in versions of that, just Zoom calls. You know, everybody's doing a version of that anyways. It doesn't hurt to have yet another one. You know,
absolutely, you
get 20 or 30 people, and it's just practice. Like what I like to say is, it's just repetitions. One, we got to live in this virtual environment. So, you know, one of the unique things that we could even coach on is, how do you look good professionally in a virtual environment? Like, you and I are doing the OK Office version of it, but maybe for an interview, there's some tricks for lighting, you know, where to put cameras, whether or not to have sound and microphone. You know, weird things like that are meaningful nowadays. You know, how do we get on LinkedIn? You know, maybe doing LinkedIn strategy. How do you start posting? Is anybody going to see it and comment and be mean to you? You know, to alleviate some of that, it's awkward being online. It's awkward for me doing this right now, to be honest. But, you know, we got to put ourselves out there a little bit.
No, what you already know, right? And for the listeners out there, it is awkward, but you've got to get your voice out there. You got to get your brand out there.
So doing it in a networking event on a Zoom call is a safer way to do that, but also very useful, because we can say, hey, anybody learn a tip from that? Or what ends up happening is, even if we've got a lot of guys also all going through the job hunting experience, right in that one spot, sharing tips and insights, but also someone is like, oh, I just talked to this company. You might actually want to talk to them. You know, that kind of stuff I'd like to see kind of show.
For the listeners, let's give them a huge bit of insight. Here's one of my most recent networking tips.
Perfect.
When you connect with an individual, whether or not Blue Water connects you with that individual to the company you're pursuing, or somebody else connects you, or you connect with this individual via cold call strategy, which we have lots of information on how to navigate that space. However you do that, you make a connection. And one of the things that we expose our members to is, hey, one connection is rarely going to result in, Mike, I networked, I met somebody at Northrop Grumman and they didn't offer me a job, so I'm moving on, right? I mean, that is, you got to have depth in the company, right? I mean, most of the time we want you 6, 7, 8 people deep in a company as you're learning the landscape, the environment, the culture, right? You're generating conversations about you on the inside by those individuals, right? And so one of the things that we espouse that members need to do is they need to keep those contacts current, but you know, they don't want to go back because they feel awkward. Mike, I don't want to go back and just say, you know, hey, how's it going kind of thing. So as you're pursuing individuals in that company, you know, on your LinkedIn page, you can follow companies, right? You can follow them down there. And if you follow a company like that, which you should be doing that anyway, that's a searchable field. And people can see whether or not you're following them or not. So if you're following that company, you also are the recipient of that company's newsfeed, right? Those current articles that people will post on behalf of the company, right? From the company, right? They're putting that information out. That's a great bit of information to snatch that information up, read it, absorb it, know what's going on in the culture. And then, are you with me? You can take that article and just forward it back to maybe the last person you talked about. Hey, you know, Scott, loved our conversation the other day. Case in point, I just saw this article posted on LinkedIn about the company. I was wondering if you might, you know, get your thoughts on it. I thought it was really interesting, et cetera, right? You're engaging in your brand and building dialogue. It's a very safe space. And at the same time, you're bringing value to that individual to making sure that they're aware of what's going on with that as well, too. And it's a great strategy to keep your network tracking and up to speed. Everybody thinks that the biggest benefit and the success to networking is getting, and give me, right? Where it's almost counterintuitive. Bring value to the people that you're networking with. That leaves the favorable impression on you, and they want to engage with you, right? They know you're looking for a job. You're never going to ask for one. They know you're looking. But don't ask for it. Just continue to bring value, continue to engage and learn as much as what you can. And it really is maybe a little bit more art than science in some cases, right? But it absolutely works. So for the listeners out there, if you're engaged in the networking battle out there, give us a call. Happy to kind of talk you through it, but it's legit. That's how you do it, right?
Yeah, no, we can definitely add strategy, you know, just find ways to add value. It's a skill set that we need to learn how to do, because you got to find your own rhythm of it and your style. Quite frankly, you know, it could be going, you know, actually posting the insightful tool or insights is part of your style. Maybe it's not. Maybe sharing insights is more your style, being the person who knows the people. So, no, love it, man. Cool. I think that's a great spot to kind of wrap it up on and let you get back to your recovery from your travel and your trip. But
One just pop up here for any of the listeners that happen to be out there, right? We continue to have some pretty exciting conversations, Scott, with the Naval Academy's Alumni Association and bringing a lot of what Blue Water, you know, delivers, you know, in our cohorts to the Academy specifically up there. And so if you're a Naval Academy grad and you think this is something that you might like to see in their repertoire of services, right? Let them know, right? To the individuals that are going through their career progression who need it, right? And so we're excited at that opportunity. So fingers crossed, we'll see where it goes.
No, very cool. Well, congratulations. Obviously getting in with the AOGs from the Academies. I know at West Point AOG, they're very engaged, whether it's a Service Academy career fair thing. There's all sorts of stuff where they're trying to be involved. So I know that they'd be interested in that resource as well. So it'll be cool to get the feedback from Navy.
All right.
Well, my classmates, actually a fellow Portuguese major.
Well, really?
Is the AOG guy.
You majored in Portuguese. I didn't think that was possible, but you did. Yeah, okay.
I just figured, hey, West Point, this place it sucks. We're all going to be lieutenants. I want to have some fun. And I want to get some good grades. I mean, at the end of the day, we all had to do engineering anyway. So I ended up doing nuclear engineering with Portuguese. I never used any of it because I was in the Army. That tells the story of the United States Army right there.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
All right, guys. Well, great. Let me see if we had one other chat. Awesome. So, Mike likes the idea for the networking opportunity. Okay, cool. So I'm going to bat that idea around a little bit more, and we'll go from there. We'll see everybody next week.
All right.
Here.
Cheers.
Hey, this is your host, Jen Amos. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of Holding Down the Fort by U.S. Vet Wealth. Visit holdingdownthefortpodcast.com to access the full show notes of this episode, including resources mentioned and bonus content. Once again, that's holdingdownthefortpodcast.com. Lastly, stay after this outro music for something a little extra. Thanks again and chat soon. Bye for now. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you so much for listening to this conversation between Scott and Mike in regards to networking tips and opportunities for military retirees seeking employment in post-military life. If some of the things they mentioned have already been outdated, I want to encourage you all to stay up to date by subscribing to our company's YouTube channel. The link is USVW TV. That's USVW as in US Vet Wealth, USVW TV. And the website or the YouTube channel is actually called, the title is called Military Retirement Blueprint, but the username is USVW TV. So feel free to subscribe there and you will always get notified when we go live, when we share content on there. We share a lot of YouTube shorts as well to give like little snippets of what our live shows are like. Either way, if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for a career progression for military retirees seeking employment in post-military life, highly, highly recommend that you subscribe to our company's YouTube channel. This has been a fun journey. Been a fun journey for me personally to take a step back and allow my husband, Scott, to host with Mike on their live show, Take a Knee Tuesdays. Even though this is released on Thursdays, just know that these live replays were on Tuesdays. And if you want to stay up to date, to subscribe to the YouTube channel, because I don't know their schedule. They're in their own little world, you know. We all are going in the same direction. We just have different ways of getting there, if that makes sense. We all want the same things. And actually, that's the reason why, you know, similar to the Rosie Network, this is why we partner with Blue Water Advisors, because we do this all in the name of helping our military community transition to post-military life. So with Blue Water Advisors, there's an emphasis on military retirees, because even with US Vet Wealth, that is our primary demographic that we serve. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful partnership with Mike Wallace. So thank you, Mike Wallace, if you are watching this, and really appreciate you and the partnership we have, you know, with you and my husband and our company. So, all right, that being said, thank you all so much. Once again, if you do want bonus content throughout the weekend, you can always sign up for a free membership for our portal. That's holdingdownthefortpodcast.com/portal. And not only will you get bonus content with Mike and Scott and US Vet Wealth, some financial resources to help you for post-military life, make a decision on the survivor benefit plan and thrift savings plan, you'll also get access to our private podcast show, Inside the Fort, where I give a little more candid commentary. So if you're into that, I hope to see you there. Otherwise, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Bye for now.